do with anything tonight. I just like the video. But we'll come back to that here in a minute. Amen? Amen. Thank you for everybody who was involved in that many years ago. I say many. Some of you were little pups back then. You're no longer pups, but anyway. But good evening. Welcome to Renovation Church and our Christmas Eve service. I'm Pastor Kurt Gentry, and been here a while, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end tonight. But we've just thankful that you're here. If you're here for the first time, we especially want to welcome you, and if we don't get a chance to meet you tonight, hopefully we'll another Sunday. We don't meet this coming Sunday. Just so you know, we as Renovation Church take two margin Sundays a year. This week is one of those in between Christmas and New Year's, and then 4th of July is the other one. And so we will not be meeting here this coming week. But we're glad you're here and hope you'll come back next year. But hopefully get a chance to say hi to you tonight. Christmas Eve is one of my favorites. For a lot of reasons, always has been as a little kid all the way up to now. And, there were some times, of course, when we had four kids at home and they were all there from little to bigger. It was a very eventful night in a lot of different ways. But to coming to church, I hadn't always gone to a Christmas Eve service. It hadn't been a part of my tradition. But for the last probably 15 to 20 years, it's been more of that. And you know, you come dress up a little bit more. The only time, I mean, most of you know, I wear jeans and a short sleeve shirt most times preaching. And most of the time I wear a suit is, unfortunately, for memorials and things of that nature, or weddings, you know, on the other upside of that. But Christmas Eve is one of those nights I put a jacket on at least. And so we do that. But again, we'll close tonight in the traditional way of many churches across the world, and that is lighting of candles as we sing Silent Night. So hopefully you have come to be a part of that too. But, you know, one of the craziest things, you know, I was a youth pastor for a long, long time, still a youth pastor at heart, as most of you know. But one of the things, you know, I've been TP'd. Anybody ever been TP'd? Anybody ever been forked? Anybody ever been forked? I mean, you go out in your front yard and there's just forks all in your front yard. Now, neither of those make any sense to me, just so you know. However, I'd rather get forked than teepeed, okay? Just so you know, especially if it rains, especially when we lived in the South, and you got them, it was brutal. And as a youth pastor, you seem to be a target for a lot of those. About 30 years ago, when I was in Texarkana, Texas, one of the things that I didn't know this, and I don't know if they still do it, but like Lowe's or Home Depot, but specifically Lowe's in Texarkana, at that time we didn't have a Home Depot, they would allow anyone to come once they shut down. I think it was like 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Once they shut down, they opened up the fence to the trees, the real trees, okay? And then you could just come and get as many as you wanted. For whatever reason, you could come and do that. Well, one Christmas Eve, about 11 o'clock at night, kind of crazy. You know, I'm just in there doing my thing as a dad, you know, with the four kids. And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I hear something outside. I hear a truck take off. And I hear a little rustling around my front door. And I thought, okay, that's weird. I go to open the door and a tree falls in my... What I realize, I can't get out my door. I realize, and I look out the window, and there are trees everywhere. There have got to be 30 or 40 trees. I mean, they are everywhere. Okay, this is our house at 400 Johnson Avenue in Wake Village, Texas. AI is helping us a little bit to put the trees in the yard there. There are really not that many Christmas trees in our front yard in Texarkana. There wasn't anything like that. You couldn't get on the porch. There had to be, like I said, 25, 30, 40, 50. I don't know how many there were. What I loved about it was, one of the things I loved about it was, I snuck out the back door because I knew these knucklehead kids, these students, couldn't just leave it alone. So I sneak out, sneak down the road, and there they are sitting in their trucks. And they didn't know I was coming. Scared them half to death. They had to haul all the trees off. But what I loved about it was, I didn't see it coming. I love that creativity. I love that getting outside the box going, hey, let's go do something that nobody else does. I Googled it. I Googled getting treed. It's not in there, okay? It's not there. So I may be part of one of those small percentage of people in the world that got treed. I love it. But having fun inside the kingdom is an awesome thing. But also doing things that are outside of what we would put God in a box on. I love scripture. This is not a Christmas scripture, but I'm going to tie it back in. It's in John 1:46, and it's the disciples are now starting to figure out who Jesus is. Now, Jesus is now John the Baptist, and he's kind of been exposed to who he's going to be. And Philip and Nathaniel, Bartholomew, maybe you may could be called that too. But Nathaniel says this, and I want to use it as our launching point for this message tonight. And it's this, and I'll read it in John 1:46. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathaniel. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I love what Philip says. Come and see for yourself. Can anything good come from? Now, what he was referring to, what Nathaniel was referring to, was Galilee was an out-of-the-way place. Nothing good ever, and of course, he was from Canaan, so he was like, nothing good comes out of there. There's no way that the Messiah that you're talking about here that we've been waiting on could come from a small place, obscure, out-of-the-way, out-of-the-box place like that. I love that phrase, but I want to leave out Nazareth here. Can anything good come out of, you fill in the blank. You may have had a hard year. I spoke a few weeks ago talking about being grateful right before Thanksgiving. It's probably been one of the greatest losses as far as people I know personally, my brother being one of them, and some good friends that have died suddenly this year, didn't see it coming, didn't have any clue. It's been a hard year. Started in January with a friend of ours, and it's gone all the way through November. Didn't see it coming. But can anything good come out of 2025? Well, I got two grandsons. We've got two grandsons. Got a granddaughter on the way in 2026. Something good comes out. There's a lot of things mixed into the bowl, right? A lot of things get in there. But then if you're not careful, you start thinking, I just want to get out of 2025. Anybody ever said that? I remember saying that in 2020. Anybody ever say that in 2020? I just need to get out of 2020. Because ain't nothing can be as bad as 2020. But even in those obscure places in 2020, in those places in 2025, God's up to something. In those places that we may ignore, we just go, well, nothing good can come out of fill in the blank. In Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to just kind of give you, I'm not going to read it tonight. And there's a reason why you did show the nobody video, because that's what God did. He used nobodies to usher in the King of Kings, but from a nobody place. Jesus was born in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire, for sure, announced by angels to who? To nobodies, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. Laid in a stone feed trough for scraps and leftovers. And again, we think of it as a clean, just, oh, well, it's just, look, I've done it myself. We have this little hay up here, right? We put it under here and we put a little hay around it. No, animals were getting fed out of that. Somewhere kings lay, especially the King of Kings. They didn't just lay on a nice little bale of hay. He's laying in a feed trough. My guess is it's pretty smelly. Anybody here live close to a dairy or ever have? I was raised on a farm. Yeah, you just going, man. You wonder, you know that's probably what it smelled like. And the only reason they were there, right, was because Caesar Augustus had, the Roman emperor had called for a census. He'd ordered it, matter of fact. It took in the entire Roman world, which Palestine was part of that. But we don't know for sure. I don't know fully as I was reading if it was for humanitarian reasons. I don't know all the reasons he was doing it, but he was doing it. But what he didn't know was that he's helping fulfill prophecy that was stated 600 years before he was born. He didn't know that. But in this obscure corner, Joseph shows up because he was from the line of David. And in that smelly trough and that stable, you know, Augustus, historians agree he was one of the most successful Roman emperors. His 45-year reign is known as Rome's golden age. At his death, the Senate declared Augustus to be a god. And some of you in here may be betting people, but if you were a betting person at that time, if you were asked about a current person who would be the most revolutionary and remembered person 2,000 years from now, you would not have voted on the one in the stable. Matter of fact, Augustus is barely even mentioned after this. But here comes this announcement. The angels declare Christ's birth not to kings and to emperors, but to illiterate shepherds watching flocks, most likely just as normal people. And you can probably kind of hear the conversation when they were told where they had to go to, going, the king is in a stable? In this obscure, out of the way, nobody. Matter of fact, they're nobodies. Again, the reason why we know they're nobodies is because they're not named. They are nobodies to us. We know we have them up here. I talked to you a few weeks ago. They're not as obscure as Joseph is, right? Joseph could not be in a manger scene, and we'd go, okay, I don't really see anything missing. But the shepherds were missing. You'd go, oh, well, the shepherds are not here. But still, we don't know their names because they were just nobodies. But they were somebody. No swaddling clothes. Not swaddling clothes. You hear it in songs, and that's awesome, but all babies have them, right? Even then. But no, in a trough, in a feed stall. Go find the King of Kings. Nobody's trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. In your circumstances, I've on the phone in the last 24 hours with people. Unbelievable how God is using their story. Very tragic. One in prison for 2 years, and God's using out of that obscure, forgotten, how did that happen? One, a death of a grandchild, and God is using, you're going, how can that, nothing good can come out of blank. As I was looking this week, just reading again about William and Catherine Booth. I mean, you see this symbol of the Salvation Army, maybe the most trusted symbol that you see. I don't know, but for me, it may be one of the most trusted. A place that, and I don't know if you know this, the Salvation Army is a church. It's our sister, one of our sister churches. It's a Wesleyan church, much like we're part of the Church of the Nazarene. I mean, their beliefs are like our beliefs. They have services. But God is using that symbol, not that symbol, the people that represent that symbol. But how they started, I love this statement from William Booth. He said, its birth in the most obscure and smelly places. It says, go straight for souls and go for the worst. Don't give up on anybody. The most unheard of, unseen, the most I don't see you. No, go to them, the worst souls. In our everyday life, now we're probably not going to start the Salvation Army. I get it. Most of us are not going to do that. But how often do we go through our day dismissing things God's bringing across our path. Well, God couldn't use that. God could. We're so much in a hurry, often we don't even see it to even ask that question, right? That doesn't even really cross our minds. 35 years ago, Jan and I were on vacation in Chicago. We went to Old Comiskey Park. It was the last year, though. Anybody from Chicago here have connections, know what that is? Old Comiskey Park, ever heard of it? There's a new Comiskey now, but that's a grainy. That should have come out better. It didn't. Sorry about that. Jan and I didn't know as we walked down the right field. We sat in right field. I'm a big baseball guy, so I'm sitting in right field, and I'm looking at these thick coats of paint on the railing, and you're looking at this big ballpark and this old ballpark, and you're going, Babe Ruth played right there, and you're kind of running through these things going, wow, this is incredible. Not knowing that as we walked out down that right field line, going down the street, there will be a young man there, teenager, burnt all over his body, looked like, couldn't tell for sure, but what you could see was burnt, his face, his arms. His hand was missing here, and he had a bucket. Now, Jan and I wasn't exposed to a lot of that. Being from Texarkana, just wasn't a lot of homeless people or people asking for anything. Maybe that was normal for sure in Chicago, I don't know. But I put some money in his bucket as I walked down that street there on the sidewalk, going to our car. Jan and I were real quiet, and all of a sudden, I just looked over at her, and both of us just had tears rolling down our face. I wasn't on a mission trip. I was on a vacation. But what I realized in that moment, God was saying something to me. Don't let that go. What I didn't know was that's how I would be introduced to, because of him. I'm still, just so you know, I wasn't a pastor. I'm running an aluminum mill in Texarkana for Alumax. I'm a board member. I'm a Sunday school teacher. You know, I'm like you guys, if you will. That's what I was doing. I wasn't pastoring, but God was speaking. And Jan and I, I'd only been a Christian 4 years at the time. I had came to know the Lord at 27. And what's interesting is, for whatever reason, when I read something or I thought God prompt me, I just thought you were supposed to follow up on it. I didn't know you're supposed to try to put the fire out, turn from it, ignore it. So we continued, and I asked a friend of mine, he said, hey, man, you need to go to North Little Rock. You need to go meet Brother Paul. And what I didn't know was that 35 years later, there'd be a little grandson born in Montana that, because of all those connections, all those years, that's how Ben and Allie know each other, is through Brother Paul. And the only way we know Brother Paul is through that young man standing on that street corner. I didn't know that I'd talked to a young lady yesterday who'd been in jail 2 years, and God is doing a tremendous work in her right now, and it's her story to tell, but she knew, because she had been on a mission trip to North Little Rock when she was in Pulaski County Jail. She knew, I don't know where to reach out, I'm at rock bottom, but she wrote a letter to Friendly Chapel. It's not a Kurt Gentry thing, that's a young man standing out there burnt in his arm, because we didn't ignore it. In the most obscure, when God's prompting you, when God's nudging you, he may be up to something. He may be up to something. Some of you right now, you've had a rough year, and I mean, it's been rough. Could you fill in that blank? Because can anything good come out of I would just say what Philip said. Come and see. Just see. We almost closed this church 13 years ago, or I say closed it. We did close it. We did close it, right? But it almost closed on its own in so many ways. A little church, 5604 North 24th Street. We talked about it the last few weeks. 13% of everything that comes in here goes away from here. That's the minimum. Doesn't count us partnering with Madhouse Ministries for at-risk youth. Doesn't count us what you guys do through our green bag, through the vet and reaching the veterans. Doesn't count what we do to Nazarene Compassion Ministry. Doesn't even count what we do to Camel View Elementary in our school district. It doesn't count any of that. And the things you do on your own every day to advance the kingdom. The church could have closed, right? And over the last 12, 13 years, I'm going to guess we've sent probably $800 to $1 million away from here. Because you're a part of a church that reaches at least 165 world areas, countries, and reaches these obscure, nobody, nowhere, God sees them, you're a part of it. Or we could have closed. Or we could have closed. He's up to something in your life. I just ask you, as you look at that passage of scripture, I realize it's not a very Christmassy scripture, but I think in some ways it could be, can anything good come out of today? I'm just hustling. I'm trying to get here and there. Man, the lines are still. Could anything good come out of me being here in this line? Maybe. Maybe. He pray for us, and then we're going to move into one of my favorite parts of Christmas Eve service, of any service, and it's our candlelight. Let me pray. Lord, we come before you tonight thanking you not only for the people in this room, and we do, Lord, just folks maybe we've never met. Lord, I hope we get a chance to do that, but Lord, you know them. They may be a nobody to some of us, but they are somebody to you with great purpose. Lord, you used unschooled, ordinary 12 men to change the history of the world. Who knows what it could be like with 150 to 200 people who say, Lord, you do what you will, and I'll come and see and be a part of it. Lord, thank you tonight. For those who are listening online, who around the world maybe, Lord, I don't know, but Lord, I do know this. Again, we may not even see you physically tonight, but you are seen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are a part of this awesome faith, this radical optimism that you are always up to something. And if we could just see and we would be willing to be obedient, you want to do big things. And we love you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.